Title: Clip Gain Before Processing, for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Advanced. All right, welcome back. This is one of those not flashy, but changes everything lessons. Today we're talking about clip gain before processing in Ableton Live. Ableton calls it clip volume or just gain in the clip view. And in drum and bass, this is a superpower, because we live in a world where breaks, subs, and mid-bass can stack into absolute chaos in about half a bar. The goal is simple. We still want aggression, crunch, saturation, and that vintage-style bite. But we want it on purpose. Not because some random clip is hitting your drum bus 6 dB hotter than the last one and turning your hats into static. By the end of this, you'll have a workflow where your saturators and compressors react consistently, your transients stay controlled, and you can swap samples without rebuilding your entire chain. Let's get into it. First, we calibrate the session, because clip gain needs a target. If you don't have a reference operating level, you're just guessing. Go to your master and put a limiter at the very end. This is temporary safety, not the sound. Set the ceiling to minus 0.8 dB, look ahead around 1 millisecond. You can even keep it off most of the time, but it's nice to have a seatbelt while you're setting things up. Now, monitor your master while mixing and aim for peak somewhere around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. That's headroom. That's space for the drop. In DNB, headroom disappears fast, and if you start mixing at almost clipping, you'll end up compressing everything just to survive. Now the key concept, clip gain versus track fader. In Ableton, clip volume happens before the device chain. That means it's literally your input trim, your console gain. It sets how hard you hit drum bus, saturator, glue, amp, all of that. The track fader is for balance in the mix. It's how loud is this element compared to the rest. So here's the mindset I want you to adopt. Clip gain is tone staging. Faders are mix staging. On audio clips, it's easy. Click the clip, go down to clip view and find gain or volume. That's your pre-device level. On MIDI tracks, you can't do clip gain the same way. So you have a few options. You can control velocity. You can put utility first in the chain as pre-gain. Or in classic DNB fashion, you resample to audio and now you've got clip gain again. Which, honestly, is one of the reasons resampling is so powerful in this genre. One important coach note here, Ableton's track meter is post-device by default. So if you're looking at the meter and thinking this is the level I'm feeding my saturator, that might be completely wrong, because the saturator already changed it. If you want a simple, practical solution, put a utility first in the chain and treat it like your visible trim. If you have sweet, you can also use a pre-FX meter device before distortion and compression. The point is, judge input at the input, not after you've already cooked it. Cool. Now let's build a break chain where clip gain is doing the heavy lifting. Create an audio track called Break A. On that track, we'll put a chain that can go from clean ghost notes to full jungle rinsed crunch. Start with utility, optional, at 0 dB. This is not for per clip matching, it's for broad trimming if the whole track needs to come up or down later. Then EQ 8, high pass around 30 to 40 Hz, 24 dB per octave. We're not trying to create sub from a break. We're making room for the actual sub. If the break is boxy, a small cut around 250 to 400 Hz, 1 to 3 dB medium Q. Then drum bus. Start with drive around 8%. Crunch around 3%. Boom off, or super low, because boom will fight your sub and make the low end feel like it's wobbling around. If the break loses snap, push transients somewhere like plus 5 to plus 15. Then saturator. Soft sine or analog clip. Drive maybe plus 2 to plus 6 dB. Soft clip on. Then glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds so you don't murder the transient. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Now here's the part that matters. Don't touch those devices yet. Loop the break in the loudest context, not solo. In context, kick, snare, bass, drop energy, and now adjust the break clip gain until the chain reacts the way you want. What are we listening for? You want the drum bus drive to give you texture, without flattening the snare transient inside the break. And you want the saturator to add harmonics without turning cymbals into white noise. If you want a rough meter ballpark, break peaks often land around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS on the track meter depending on the sample, but don't get religious about the number. The real target is consistent hit into the saturation. Here's a pro workflow tip. Make a reference clip. Literally, duplicate a break clip and rename it REF break. Get that clip hitting the chain perfectly. Then, whenever you audition a new break, don't start tweaking drum bus drive like a maniac. Match the new brakes clip gain to the reference until it drives the chain the same way. That one habit saves hours. Also, listen for clicks when you switch clips with different gains, especially on loop boundaries. Saturation exaggerates discontinuities. If you hear a click at the start of the clip, add a tiny fade-in, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, right in clip view. That keeps your dirt smooth. Next, kick and snare. This is where people accidentally ruin their punch chasing more smack. For the kick, put it on its own track or a drum rack pad, whatever you like. The concept is the same, set clip gain so the kick hits the processing consistently. A clean chain could be EQ8 with a high pass around 25 to 30 HC, optional dip around 200 to 300 if it's muddy. Then saturator on analog clip, drive plus 1 to plus 4, soft clip on. Optionally a glue compressor, attack around 3 milliseconds, release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 4 to 1, just 1 to 2 dB of reduction. Now the snare. EQ8, high pass around 120 to 180. If it needs body, a gentle boost around 180 to 220. If it needs presence, a little bump around 3 to 6 kHz, but be careful. DNB snares can go from exciting to painful really fast. Then drum bus, drive maybe 3 to 10%. Transients can go plus 5 to plus 20. Snares love transient shaping. Then saturator, soft sign, drive plus 2 to plus 6. And the clip gain move is this. If your snare changes between sections, like you have layered hits or different samples, normalize them by ear using clip gain so the chain sees the same input. This is where the vintage tone idea really becomes real. Vintage emulations respond to level. If the input changes, the tone changes. Clip gain is how you keep that console hit consistent. Now let's talk bass, because bass is where inconsistent clip levels create that classic DNB problem. One note destroys the mix, the next note disappears. The sidechain feels random, and you swear your compressor is haunted. Here's the workflow. Make a track called Bass Synth with your instrument and whatever you use to generate the sound. Then make an audio track called Bass Resample. Set its input to resampling, or route from the synth track. Print a few variations, a res, a stab, a growl phrase, whatever your lane is. Now on Bass Resample, you build a tone chain and you control it with clip gain. Start with EQ8, high pass 20 to 30 Hz. Cut resonances, commonly 150 to 400 Hz if it's honky or boxy. Then saturator an analog clip. Drive anywhere from plus 3 to plus 10 dB depending how heavy you're going. Soft clip on. Then amp or pedal. Amp on clean or blues with low gain can be surprisingly good. Pedal on overdrive or distortion, but controlled. Then optional glue compressor. Attack 10 ms. Release auto, ratio 2 to 1, 1 to 3 dB of reduction. Optional limiter catching spikes, 1 to 2 dB max. Now is a vibe tool. Now the clip gain principle for bass. Choose one reference note, usually the loudest, most sustained, most problematic note. Get its clip gain set so the saturation is perfect. Not louder, not more, just the right hair, the right grit, the right density. Then match every other bass clip to that perceived drive level before the chain. And here's the advanced listening tip. Don't match only by peaks. Two bass clips can peak the same but drive distortion differently if one is more sustained. So listen to the upper harmonics. Listen to the amount of hair, especially in Euro-style phrases where one note is a long vowel and the next is a short stab. You're matching how the distortion engages, not just how loud it feels. Bonus, if you're side-chaining bass to kick, inconsistent bass clip gain equals inconsistent duct depth. That's why sometimes the pump feels amazing on the main phrase and then totally ROM on the fill. Fix the clip gains first, then set your sidechain threshold. Suddenly the groove becomes repeatable. Now, buses. Group your drums into a drums bus. Kick, snare, brakes, hats. On the bus, keep it musical and light. EQ8 for gentle shaping if needed. Glue compressor. Attack 10 ms. Release auto, ratio 2 to 1. 1 to 2 dB reduction average. Drum bus subtle. Drive 2 to 6%. Crunch 0 to 5. Then utility for final gain trim so you keep headroom. Here's the reason clip gain matters so much here. If your individual elements are calibrated, the drum bus compressor behaves consistently across the arrangement. Your drop doesn't collapse when you add percussion. You're not chasing thresholds every 8 bars. The bus becomes an engine, not a moving target. Now arrangement control. DNB specific. Rolling DNB gets dense. You've got the main break, a top loop, ghost snares, little percussion bits, rides, shakers. If you automate 8 faders, you'll lose your mind and your bus processing will react differently every time. Instead, Use clip gain for section-based control. Example, in a 32-bar drop, keep the processing stable and just change density. First 8 bars, set the break clip gain to -2 dB to make room for the bass establishing itself. Bars 9 to 16, bring it back to 0. Bars 17 to 24, introduce a top loop but set its clip gain to -4 so it tucks in. Bars 25 to 32, bring that top loop to -2 and add a ride. Notice what's happening. You're not changing the tone of your main chain every time. You're mixing the arrangement, while keeping the hit into processing predictable. If you want a nasty little pre-drop tension trick, pull break clip gain down 3 to 6 dB for 1 or 2 bars before the drop, then slam it back to 0 at the drop. It feels like a loudness jump without you rewriting your boss settings. And if you want an even cleaner version of that, reduce clip gain on supporting layers like hats and top loops, instead of your main tone generators, so your break still hits the sweet spot. Let's quickly hit common mistakes so you can dodge them. Mistake 1. Using the track fader to hit saturation or compression. That ties tone and balance together, so every adjustment becomes a mess. Set tone with clip gain, then balance with faders. Mistake 2. Overdriving drum bus and saturator because it sounds insane in solo. In the full mix, that turns into hash, steals headroom from the sub, and your snare starts feeling like a snare. Mistake 3. Inconsistent bass clip levels after resampling. That's how you get one note makes the distortion explode and ducks the drums syndrome. Mistake 4. Setting clip gain while soloed. Always do it with kick, snare, and bass playing. The drop is the truth. And mistake 5. Not realizing some devices saturate internally. Some do it in a nice way, some do it in an ugly way. Clip gain helps you choose the saturation instead of stumbling into it. Now, a couple advanced variations if you want to push this further. Try a two-stage drive concept. Trim, color, control. This audio version is shortened for playback.